You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams live in the Right Side studio, local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all of the issues and, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. How cool was that, Boomer? How cool was that interview with Lieutenant General Boykin?
Unreal. I could listen to his stories all day long.
Seriously, I could. I mean, it's
incredible.
I mean, I feel like I'm being a Boykin groupie, but the reality is this. I mean, I've had a chance to work in a lot of these special operations arenas. Mm-hmm. He's known. I mean, he is a known figure. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
It's kind of like being an athlete and finding out you get to hang out with a guy who's done all the athletic things you could possibly want. he's been there, done that. And got the T-shirt to prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just hearing those stories, and then we were talking earlier this week, and next thing you know, he was up on Fox.
Yeah, we're sitting here. Yeah, we're talking about, okay, Boykin's coming on this front, and then bang, we're watching on the big screen while he's doing, you know, some kind of Fox News contributor stuff. It's crazy,
but so cool.
But I've had a chance to spend some time with him in real life. You know, not outside of interviewing and all that kind of stuff. He is as genuine and as down-to-earth and as good a guy as you would ever. I mean, three-star general. He could probably look at me and make me do push-ups still to this day if he wanted. But the reality is he's not that way.
Right.
Just as solid as they come. Wow. Got some text messages going. So Moon Pie from Madison texted in. He says, so, Colonel, you've done extended interviews now with Ted Nugent and Lieutenant General Boykin. Should we expect your retirement sometime soon? I said, well, I'd be retiring a champion, but no. We got some more surprises coming sometime in the near future. We're working on them right now.
Yeah.
Paul from Athens sent in to say, thank you, General Boykin, and God bless. And, yep, I agree with that. Brian from Huntsville says, you know, yeah, our much-beloved men and women in the military get shots or get injections. And I think, is he on the phone right now? I'm sorry, just talking away. He's holding on. Line one, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing, bud?
Doing well, and I want to say thank you, General Boykin and Boomer. It sounds like I got a new book to buy and read.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah.
And getting to hear the message of God and country to that level from all of you going into weekend is a blessing indeed. I'll leave it there.
All right, man.
Y'all have a great weekend.
Appreciate you, Brian. Thanks for calling in. Yep. Well, I totally agree. And by the way, you know what? It's also proof that there's no requirement to compromise. I think that's one of the things that I see in his story. Well, he said it, actually. You know, Charlie Beckwith, who was the first commander of Delta Force, the guy who was there for the first 2 or 3 years of Delta's existence. By the way, Charlie Beckwith, go look him up, but he was a legend in his own right. I mean, there literally should be movies made about the life of Charlie Beckwith. But Beckwith was rough as a cob, hard as a rock, but he did give Boykin a hard time for a while, and then it turns out that literally what he was doing was making sure that he was legit, and Boykin didn't compromise, and he could have. He might have incurred less wrath if he had compromised to some point, and, you know, been the guy who would do the thing on Friday night or, you know, whatever. He didn't. And next thing you know, he's being asked then to pray before Operation Equal Claw launches, and then he's asked to pray before multiple missions thereafter. And because, like you said, it took 2 years, but he passed Charlie Beckwith's test. And you don't have to compromise. That's the thing. I mean, I can remember, and by the way, you don't have to not only compromise, you don't even have to be quiet. I mean, it's not like you're pushing on other people, but you can say, you know, I love the Lord. Let's go kill some bad guys. I mean, you can do that. I've got a sign on my wall right here behind me here in the studio. I'm pointing to it right now. I took it down off my team room in Baghdad and brought it home with me. It says, win friends, kill enemies. I have no problem having that sign on my wall. It's not murder. We're not talking about it. He pointed that out. Scripture is not, you know, is do not murder is what we're talking about, but there's nothing that prohibits you from defending the interests of your nation when others are out to try and subjugate you as a people or do things that are contrary to your national interests, and you're in the service of your country. And I love that aspect of his story. It's okay to be. God loves soldiers, and sometimes He calls us to be a soldier, whether we're in uniform or not. If you know what I mean. Oh, there's a whole new monologue.
That was. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to flip gears now. If you want to call in, you're welcome to it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on General Boykin's interview just now. So 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number, 833-687-4448. You can also text that number. I would love to see what people's thoughts are, or hear people's thoughts. I'm just literally thinking it is important that we know how y'all respond to these things too. So as we build this show, that we're hearing from you guys. So yeah, 833-687-4448. There it is, 833-68-RIGHT. All right, I'm switching gears. Number two in the Triple Dipper. Let me get back to current events. I'm calling this section Bordering on Insanity. It's where we are, folks. The southern border is so far out of control. And the very idea that the Vice President of the United States, who was named by the... which I still look back at that and think, was that planned? When she was named by Biden as the border czar, was he off script when he did that? I look back now because there's been so much nothingness around it. It's like, he's in the middle of a speech and he goes, and I have decided to name Vice President Kamala Harris as the border czar. And I'm seeing to recall, wasn't she standing there next to him when it happened? And I wonder, I almost in my mind, I want to see her head snap around like, what in God's name did you just say? But she got stuck with the most awful job. But you know what? You could make something. She could be a hero right now if she wanted to, truthfully. She could win over the independents and some Republicans, I guarantee you, if she took that job seriously. And she hadn't done squat with it. Not a thing. The very idea that the President of the United States is going to pretend he appointed the border czar, which, like I said, I look back now and wonder, was that an accident? Was that supposed to happen? Did he have himself a moment? Did he forget where he was? Where's Jackie? Where's Jackie? No, I tell this my guy's point. Border czar. Kamala Harris, border czar. Oh, Lord. Anyway, so there she is. Story from ABCNews.com, just to refresh you on some of the stats right now. ABCNews.com, dated September 19th, just 11 days ago. The number of arrests or detentions of migrants at the border this fiscal year remains at a record high, according to data released that week. As Republicans level sharp criticism at the Biden administration, even as the White House says it is working to humanely manage immigration and stresses its limited influence over those seeking to enter. You don't have to have influence over the ones seeking to enter the country. You have influence over your border. That's how you gain influence over the people. I mean, for the love. Anyway, U.S. Border Patrol's apprehensions of migrants have now exceeded 2 million so far this fiscal year. And when this article was written, there was over a month left in the fiscal year. That's a record. That's an all-time record in the history of the United States that we know of, an all-time record. And by the way, that's just the southern border. I mean, we have immigration that's legal in other ports of entry. We have places in which I'm sure people come across the border we're not even aware of, like up around Canada, but it's not as big a deal, obviously, as what we're seeing down south. 2 million. Actually, it's 2.4 when you take into account what they call the gotaways. The ones that they could see them, they're chasing them, but they don't catch them. A growing number of migrants, though, have also been exercising their legal rights to avoid deportation. Legal rights to avoid deportation. Oh, there's legal opportunities here. Well, yes, there are. So I'll go to that next story real quick before I take my caller. When I say that, here's the bordering on insanity part. Not only is it insanity that we've allegedly appointed the Vice President of the United States to be the border czar, who has done nothing, and we are at 2.4 million just this year alone, over 4 million as long as she's been president. Epoch Times reports as of yesterday, the Biden administration just gave $41 million in contracts to a Soros-linked group that helps illegal aliens fight its deportations. So when I said a moment ago that one of the biggest things they've been seeing now is migrants beginning to exercise their legal rights, part of that's coming through these NGOs who the Biden administration says are trying to control the border, and yet they gave $41 million in federal grants recently to an advocacy group called the Acacia Center for Justice that works with Soros' Open Society Foundation, which advocates for no borders. What? This is bordering on insanity. That's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Let me grab some phone calls before I hit the break. I think this is going to go back to our conversation there with General Boykin. So I'll take line one, or line two, I'm sorry, Kevin from Decatur. Hey, Kevin, Phil Williams, how you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
No, just listening to you. I listen to you on the way home from work every day. You're talking about recruiting and whatnot. But
yeah.
A friend of mine, I try to give him a call every so often and check up on him. I got out 30 years ago out of the Air Force. My son's fourth generation military. But you're talking about the recruits and whatnot. Hit on something. A buddy of mine said, you know what the difference is between kids nowadays as compared to when we grew up? I said, no. He goes, we cared about each other.
Huh.
We looked after each other. I have a bond with people that I served with over the years, and I have no other bond with anybody in my life with those people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's the culture that has been developed over the years. People don't care about each other anymore. That's just my opinion, and my friend was correct.
Well, and listen, Kevin, first of all, thanks for your service and thanks for your son's service. And there's too much of that. There's a very narcissistic society right now. And we've got to make sure that we recognize the value of team means caring about the others on your team more than yourself a lot of times. Great point, Kevin. Thanks for the
exactly.
call. Yeah, man. You have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Take the next one before the break. Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, we got about a minute. What's on your mind?
I was going to mention about the border. Everyone needs to, if they have access, watch Epic Times has a great border documentary right now that's out. And it really shows the flow from Central America and even South America and Haiti and Cuba and even Africa over through our borders, and how it's not just a border issue with Mexico. It's how we deal with all the countries that are running them through willy-nilly to get up here, and how we are just complicit, Republican and Democrat, in the flooding of our own country with illegal immigrants.
Yes.
They're migrants. They're coming to work. They're not coming because they're in danger from everywhere. They're coming because they want to work. And number two, that interview was fabulous. And he's a true inspiration, this man, you know, what someone you would aspire to be. And the difference between the kids back then and now is the expectation of sacrifice and the willingness to sacrifice and the willingness to be brave. That's not instilled in our children anymore. They don't ever expect to have to sacrifice anything. And that's where we go wrong.
Wow. Lee, great call. Great call. Got to go to a break right now, but thank you so much for that. That was good stuff. Have a great weekend. That's a good point. But you know what? We tell our kids, our grandbabies, we literally tell them, you are brave, you are kind, you are smart. I often tell my grandson, and you're the best one. but you know what? You can teach bravery. You can instill that. It can be. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We will do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, bordering on insanity. You want to call or text in? We'll take it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the interview with General Boykin, 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I gotta step aside here and let y'all know we've got some good text messages going. So James from Harvest texted in about my comments a while ago. He says, I love the Lord. Let's go kill some bad guys. LOL. That's why I love you, Phil. Appreciate it, James. Thanks, man. Wendell from Baton Rouge says, always enjoy the military tales, the discussions, and the guests. Adds a new dimension and perspective to the conversations. Keep it up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will. Paul from Athens says, Boykin is the real Chuck Norris of Delta Force. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, he is. And then we just got a new, Boomer, we got a new guy. Todd from Madison just joined the text string there. So we're like well over, I mean, we're in we got a ton of people in that text line now, tons. What's our podcast download? It's got to be close to like 81.5, 82,000, somewhere in there. He's looking. Boomer's looking. While he's looking, let me do this. I got to tell you. What you got, bud?
82.5.
What?
Yep.
Stop it. 82.5.
Yep.
82,500 people or downloads of the podcast. That's awesome.
Man.
I'm loving it. All right. Hey, listen, I gotta take a minute here and tell you. I mean, obviously, you hear my conversation with General Boykin. I talk about my own military experience occasionally. I've got family members that have served or are serving now. So it's a very military-centric environment here on this Right Side Radio show. Just like a lot of you, I began to hear about this stuff about water contamination at Camp Lejeune. I thought, what is that? I mean, it's all over the place now. It's on the air. It's in TV. It's in my internet ads. So I found out some friends of mine. There's a law firm called Riley and Jackson. These are actually friends of mine that run a major law firm out of Birmingham, but they work statewide. We've worked together on some issues, and I picked up that they were one of the firms that was working this water contamination stuff. So I called them, and I said, what's the deal, fellas? And they said, listen, there's like 19 different illnesses. It's confirmed that water was contaminated for a period of time there. The government knew it, did nothing about it, and there have been like 19 major illnesses, including up to cancers and deadly illnesses that have been attributed to this. If you were there at Camp Lejeune, you could have been there as a dependent, as a trainee on TDY or permanent duty station as a service member, anywhere between 1953 to 1987. That's a big spread, 53 to 87. You may be eligible for a claim, and Riley and Jackson has got five lawyers working on it right now. Here's their number. You ready? 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. Just call them. See if you have a claim. No charge for the call. They'll tell you, and they won't get paid ever unless they get something for you. 205-879-5000. And do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And all right, I'll do a double shout out for Todd from Madison because I can't believe I just said his name on the air. We love having you around, Todd.
That's pretty cool.
That's good. That's good. Awesome. All right. Well, listen, we're going to be going to a break here in just a minute. When I come back, I'll just stay on topic. I'll stay on topic. The border thing is an issue, but it's also Friday afternoon, so I want to hear from my folks. So you guys be texting and calling, all right? 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I really want to hear your thoughts on the interview with General Jerry Boykin, which, by the way, I would say probably by tomorrow morning, that will be available in podcast form. You can pick up the whole interview. We also, hey, Boomer, if they want to see the video, how do they see the video again? Is that going to be available too?
Yeah, it should be up on our website just under, you know, live videos or, you know, a live stream. They can scroll all the way down to the bottom, and it'll be listed there under all of our videos.
Okay, so rightsideradio.org,
yes,
there
sir.
It is. All
right there.
All right, guys, I learned something new right there. How about that?
They can go look at all those videos.
Okay. By the way, we've got a section on rightsideradio.org, the website. It's called Recommended Reading. If you go to it, you find a series of books, one of which is General Boykin's book, Never Surrender. It's been on there for almost the entire time we've had this show. But you can actually go to, it's a hot link. The picture of the book is there. You can click on it, take you right to it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, 4:30 on a Friday. How did this happen? All right, we'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are covering the northern part of the state of Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, and like I always say, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, we just got a great text, Shelton from Harvest. Appreciate you. He just said, He had to miss the interview with the general, but he's going to catch it on podcast tomorrow. He said, thanks to you and Boomer for providing 3 hours of sanity Monday through Friday in this insane world. Shelton, thanks, man. That was awesome. Appreciate that. I got a caller online. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Doing great, Phil.
Good, man.
Hey, don't you be knocking the best vice president we've ever had.
Well,
I mean, come on, man.
Well, she did break the glass ceiling.
The vice president serves the president, you know, and she does what he tells her to do. She's doing exactly what she told him, what he told her to do, or whoever's writing the words on the teleprompter for Joe Biden to read.
Yeah. I don't know, though, man. I look back on this thing, and it's been such a nothing burger. Like, she was allegedly appointed to be the czar, and then nada, like nothing. Does she even go to a meeting? I don't know. And I'm thinking, are we sure that was scripted, or is that off the cuff?
Well, no, she's doing exactly what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to say, I'm the border czar, the border is closed, and, you know, well, the reality is it's completely wide open. It's by design. It's meant to be that way. I mean, you know, just think, if she would have been Trump's vice president, I mean, you know, he might have stayed in office, you know, because my former governor, Mike Pence, he would have... did what Trump told him to do, you know, if it had been her, I'm sure.
Go figure. Well, did you hear the interview we had with General Boykin? How'd that go over?
I just caught the tail end of it, but he sounds like a wonderful guy.
Oh, yeah, it was something else. Well, you got to try and pick up the whole thing later on, man, because it'll be up on podcast. But it was good stuff. Delta Force stories. I didn't even scratch the surface, Jeff. There's like so many stories we could have told if we'd had the whole 3 hours. We wouldn't have got through all of them.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'll go through the podcast and listen to it. But it's just like my Marcus and everything. You know, everybody who's working for Biden is great. They're not like the people who was working for Trump who backstabbed him and everything. The people working for Biden are true and true, and they're taking their job seriously because they're doing exactly as they're told to do.
Okay, now we need to talk about your drinking and driving now, Jeff, just so you know.
Well, I actually am drinking and driving, but I got a 44, I got a Route 44 in my hand here, buddy.
All right, well, be careful on the road, Jeff. You have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you again soon. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, it's something else, but... you know, maybe he's right. Maybe everybody's doing exactly what they were told to do. And you know what? And I don't know what's worse, negligence or recklessness. I mean, in the eyes of the law, both are actionable, right? I would say this, recklessness in the eyes of the law carries punitive damages, if you know what I mean. Negligence is where you, by an action or omission, commit that thing that a reasonable person would not have otherwise done and proximately cause damages to another. And that's actionable, obviously. Reckless is usually when you have acted with a disregard for your own actions. And I'm paraphrasing. I know some lawyers out there going, that's not the way you're supposed to say it. I'm not acting in court right now. I'm not before the bench. But the reality is recklessness can often come with punitive damages. So I look at these folks that are doing their jobs or not doing their jobs in D.C., and I'm thinking, okay, are you negligent or is it a reckless disregard? And I'll be honest with you. At first, I thought the border, which is what I'm on right now, bordering on insanity is what I'm calling this. I thought the border was just this classic case of negligence. We can't be Trump. We got to try something different. Let's just see what has. Will this work? I don't know. Will this work? I don't know. And just being grossly negligent, but I'm beyond that. It doesn't take 2 years to figure it out. It's a reckless disregard for the actions that they're taking, the actions or the outcomes of their actions that they're taking. They don't care. They are literally, I mean, when you look at the story, okay, let me go back to the stories I did a minute ago. Border apprehensions exceed 2 million. Total contacts with illegal migrants on the southern border alone, 2.4 million. That was several weeks ago. Within that article on ABC News, by the way, A growing number of the migrants have been exercising their legal rights to avoid deportation via humanitarian claims, which requires many of them to end up staying for months or years while their cases are adjudicated. Next article, Epoch Times, as of yesterday, Biden administration gives $41 million in contracts to Soros-linked groups to help illegal aliens fight their deportations. What the heck? You can't be the one who says, we oppose you, and oh, by the way, here's the money to fight us. It doesn't work that way. That's where I get into recklessness. That's where I look at it and go, this is bordering on insanity. A $41 million series of federal contracts designed to boost the status of a group called Vera Institute for Justice, which is directly connected to George Soros' Open Society Foundation. They've received millions from George Soros' Open Society Foundation that fights border controls. So they're not just there helping them with their humanitarian issues. No, they are literally fighting deportation. They are fighting the systems that say we should be allowed to have a border. And we're paying for it. How about this? As we look at the bordering on insanity piece. Migrant deaths at the U.S.-Mexico border hit a record high, in part due to drownings. This is awful. This is the toll. This is where the recklessness is having an extreme toll just on the human factor alone. Migrant deaths at the U.S.-Mexico border hit a record high, in part due to drownings, according to NPR. I'm not citing some conservative, you know, site. This is NPR. The Rio Grande is also known as the El Rio Bravo, which means the angry river or the fierce river. All right? It's like a slow-moving river, but it's fairly swift, says Manuel Mello, the fire chief in Eagle Pass. And they are saying right now that in Eagle Pass alone, drownings have become a daily occurrence. Says the fire department helps recover the bodies of migrants who drowned trying to cross. Mello says the department used to get one or two calls a month. Now it gets dozens. Dozens. He said it's basically at least a drowning a day. This has been the deadliest year ever, the article goes on to say, for migrants trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border. More than 800 migrants have died border-wide in the fiscal year that ends this week. Just in this fiscal year alone, more than 800 migrants have died. Drownings are a big part of the reason why, it says. Hundreds also perished from extreme heat in the remote borderlands or in the backs of the tractor trailers. We heard about that one that killed 50 at one time. Earlier this month, the article says, 9 illegal immigrants were recovered from the river near Eagle Pass on a single day. 9 in one day in one part of the border. NPR reporter said they watched as several families with young children were wading out into the water on the Mexico side just to turn back when it got too deep. First responders and law enforcement officials in South Texas say they are struggling to keep up with the pace of migrant fatalities. I saw one report separate from this. I don't have it with me today. That said that they don't have any more storage, cold storage for the bodies in some places. I got a call on line one. Boomer, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here talking away. Line one. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, and I've got a Boykin story that I think you will really appreciate.
Awesome. What you got?
We had a chance with our books to be at a church here in Alabama, and he was the guy. He was the keynote speaker. I got a chance to speak with him. And, of course, all of the Black Hawk Down stories and all of that were remarkable. But there were two things that I will never forget about the man. One was he told the story of his father having adopted an African-American young boy. And this is still doing, you know, Boykin's not exactly a spring chicken. This is back quite a while ago. And his dad took heat, but everybody knew that this kid was Cecil's boy, and they didn't mess with him. That story touched me so very much. The other thing was, he had just retired, and I don't know what you went through when you were fresh out of retirement and just, I don't want to say just into a suit, but kind of into a suit. It can be kind of unsettling, and I remember getting a chance to look at him and said, sir, you do not need a uniform in order to have command presence.
Wow.
And he just looked at me and smiled, and I'll never forget it. He's a wonderful man, and I treasure every moment I got to spend with him. He's a good guy, and I'm glad you had him on.
Hey, Allie, what great stories. Thank you for that. That's
you are welcome.
That is awesome. All right, Allie, have a great weekend. Yeah, and General Boykin, by the way, he heard it in the interview. He's got a new book out about encouraging, you know, men to thrive in biblical standards and to be the manly men that God designed them to be. He's got a joint ministry with another guy. It's called Kingdom Warriors Ministry, and it's with a guy named Stu Weber. Stu Weber himself was a Green Beret in Vietnam. He's a pastor out in, I think, out in Oregon, maybe Washington State. But anyway, Stu Weber. Well, Stu Weber, during the Promise Keeper, he kind of came to everybody's attention during the Promise Keepers movement. He wrote a number of books. I think he's the one that wrote Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. Maybe one of his. Anyway, but one of the books he wrote was called Spirit Warriors. And so when I went overseas for my first tour, I took Spirit Warrior with me. I read it. I was out on a remote team, and I'm telling you all this because I told General Boykin just the other day as we were sitting during a break waiting to not the other day when we recorded the interview. I told him. About this story with his friend, because he and Stu Weber are still close friends and they work together. I said, I took Stu Weber's book to Afghanistan at the beginning of the war. I was out in the middle of nowhere. It was my small team with a special forces team, and we were it. And the book kind of got passed around. Several of the guys read it came back to Fort Bragg to demob. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to church Sunday morning. So one of the guys on my team and I, we went over to what's called the Special Warfare Chapel. And we got there, and lo and behold, there's about 70 people, and the speaker is Stu Weber. And I got to tell him, because the war was still fresh, I told him, I just got back like 2 days ago. I read your book, Downrange. It blessed him and blessed me. It blessed both of us. Very cool. Boomer, take the last break of the day, brother. It's Friday afternoon. Let's go take one more. We'll come right back. I guess I'll save that third part of the Triple Dipper on You Can't Make This Stuff Up for Monday. But I got a little more on the border, and it ain't all good. It's bordering on insanity. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So hey, Jeff from Indiana, just so you know, while you're driving, you got some reaction. First of all, where was it? I think it's JT from Lacey Springs. He said his boots were clean until you started making those comments. I don't know what that means. I think he means he stepped in something. And then Charlene, the lovely Charlene, my Charlene, just texted and said she agrees with Jeff from Indiana. So, Jeff, there you go. You are now officially a Right Side Radio contributor who receives fan mail, I guess. But there you go. Hey, listen, I gotta tell you, Just Love Coffee Cafe. You hear me talk about them all the time, and they are epic good at the food that they cook, the coffee that they make, the environment they establish. But one of the things that I think has to be made known is they're unusual in the business arena because they try to find ways to contribute back to the community. It's kind of a big deal. I mean, it's like their business model is to find means by which they can give back to the community. And so they're constantly doing fundraisers and helping out local groups and stuff like that at their locations. Well, I was texting back and forth with Travis, who is the guy that owns and operates both of the Just Love Coffees in our area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville, down by Whole Foods. He asked me to let y'all know that tomorrow at the Madison location on Hughes Road, he said they're going to be having the Bob Jones Band out there Saturday morning for a fundraiser if folks want to stop by. So I think what that probably means is there's going to be stuff going on there at the location in Madison. And whatever happens, whether it be through sales or other things, there's means by which you can support the Bob Jones High School Band. Just Love Coffee, always doing stuff. There's Travis is letting me know, hey, make sure your folks are aware we're doing something for Bob Jones High School. That's tomorrow morning at the Madison location of Just Love Coffee. Also, I got a text. Where did that go? I got an email from Josie. She's our program director at our Birmingham stations. You know, we're on multiple stations across North Alabama now, some with Cumulus Media, Cumulus Broadcasting, and some with Crawford Media. Crawford Media, the Birmingham stations, WXJC 101.1 FM, they have a huge signal. But they are doing, kind of cool, a Pastor Appreciation Month. So here's the thing. She said, would you mind announcing this? No, I don't mind announcing this. Starting yesterday, actually, they're accepting nominations for Pastor Appreciation Month. And you can go to their website, WXJCradio.com. That's where it is, WXJCradio.com. And there's a place on there, I think it's just called the PAM banner, Pastor Appreciation Month. Click on it. Nominate your favorite pastor. They're going to pick one a week, and they're going to honor them with a $100 Visa gift card and let them know that they've been nominated as Pastor of the Month, so or Pastor Appreciation Month. So, yeah, one a week for the month of October. Go to WXJCradio.com and nominate your favorite pastor. I think that's cool. I think, you know, I've been in full-time ministry. It can be the biggest blessing and also one of the most difficult lifestyles ever because you're constantly on call. People constantly expect you to be on top of your game, and you're trying to do the best you can. Sometimes you're having a bad day, but you got to help folks who are having their bad days. Yeah. And there's that. Listen, as we move into the final moments of the show, let me just say this. The podcast is kicking. We got a ton of y'all that pick it up. You can go, if you can't find it, like if you're not sure where to pick it up, you can always go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Between Boomer and Birdman, all the stuff we do out there is updated on a regular basis. And we're about to have some more on there, not the least of which is the podcasting. You can find it on the live stream section. Is that where we put it? Yeah, I believe so. And all that stuff is on there. You can go ahead and pick up the podcast at any given time and listen to previous episodes, interviews, things that we've got going on. You're going to want to keep in touch with the show. Even when we're not on the air, you can grab new information about what we're doing and what we're up to. See photo galleries and all that stuff. All right, man, I'll tell you what. I don't know. I mean,
what a day.
What a day. I got a stack of stuff I didn't even touch.
Oh, man. You know who's going to probably be texting you a little bit?
What?
You did not get through those triple dippers.
Sorry, Tyler.
Tyler, yeah.
Sorry, Tyler. I didn't get to all three of the dippers today. I got a dipper and a half. That's what I got. It was basically a dipper and a half, but it was worth it. And by the way, Paul from Athens, this Texas said, thanks, you guys. Have a blessed day. And thank you, Paul. You too. Blessed weekend. All right. Yeah. So we'll have more stuff on Monday. We'll figure it out.
You got a whole lot of stuff for Monday. And guess what? There's a whole weekend to get some more crazy stuff.
I'm pretty sure it's a target-rich environment right now, brother. I do remember when Clinton got reelected, I was a Rush Limbaugh fan from way back. And when Clinton got reelected, I'll never forget hearing Rush Limbaugh kind of consoling his audience.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton got reelected, and he's like, I know. But listen, I'll just be honest with you. He said, as a conservative radio guy, I've got 4 years of stuff to work with now. And he did.
Yeah.
You know, but I tell you what, I'd much rather be sitting here on the air talking about things that happened like in the Reagan era than to talk about what's happening in the Biden era.
Oh, yeah.
But take heart, folks. I've said it multiple times, and I'll say it again. I am of the firm belief it took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. Mm. And so I am hoping, praying, asking, beseeching that y'all consider the elections coming up. They're underway now, to be honest with you. Midterms, got to have them. Got to have the control of the House and Senate. And then we're inside of 2 years at that point to the presidential, which means the actual true election process begins in about the next 8 to 10 months.
Wow.
I'm saying it ain't that far away. As long as Biden's been in office right now is all he's got left in this term. That's good gosh. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all have an amazing weekend. Boomer and I back here Monday at 2. We'll see you then.